It's like I've been ready for 30-some years.
At least. 34-ish. 1984 to, yeah, 34 years. All right, welcome to Cobra Kai Experience, as it were. Do you know how many, like, Cobra Kai podcasts there are now?
I don't think there are enough.
No, there aren't enough. And that was one of the reasons for this one.
Yeah.
There's always room for one more.
There are.
And
different perspectives.
And I think our perspective is fresh and new in that, to my knowledge, we are the only podcasts being performed by martial artists.
Yes.
Not just like me. I'm just like in the martial arts. I'm just a guy that takes classes, right?
Literally.
Right. But you. You're
welcome.
You're welcome. I can use that, right?
Yeah.
My gift to you.
Yes. I'm with you.
But you would like qualify as a martial arts expert.
Expert, but we'll.
Expert.
Experienced.
Now, okay, let's just start there. Introduce yourself and list. And then we'll let the audience decide whether or not you're an expert.
Okay. Andy Cassidy, owner and head instructor of Cassidy Martial Arts Academy.
Okay.
So Macomb, Illinois.
Just starting. You own your own martial arts academy.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, you should know that. You're one of my students.
Yes, I am. But so, they don't know that. So if that doesn't qualify you as an expert, please, go on. Continue with your credentials.
My 20th year in martial arts.
20 years. I think, yes. 20 years of anything qualifies you as an expert.
Started in Taekwondo, third degree black belt there.
Okay.
Under Master Ted Danner. Mm-hmm. And then decided to expand a little bit. Went to Springfield, Illinois to train under Hachi John Gaston. Now a second degree black belt under his Kempo Jitsu system. And have since started training under Hoist Gracie. And I'm a two-stripe purple belt under Hoist with about seven years under Hoist.
Okay, so you're Taekwondo
third
degree black belt in, yes, Taekwondo.
Mm-hmm.
A first degree black belt, second degree black belt with John Gaston.
Yes.
So you have 5 degrees of black belt. Is that pretty much what I'm understanding?
You want to total it up that way, yeah, I guess so.
And own your own martial arts academy.
Yes.
Okay.
Purple voice.
We've got Gracie thrown in there on top.
With that amount of time, you would be multiple black belts in most martial arts.
But not with...
Not with voice. That's
not with voice. That's a whole nother...
Voice has a different route. It's, yes, 10 to 15 years. It's amazing. I wouldn't have that one. I wouldn't have that one any other way.
So, for those of you taking notes at home, we have third degree black belt in Taekwondo, second degree black belt in Kempo Jiu-Jitsu under John Gaston, who is extremely well known and recognized in martial arts circles.
Yes.
Not just in the Midwest, but pretty much all over the country.
It's kind of worldwide.
Yeah, he's like hooked up.
Yeah.
And you own your own martial arts academy.
Yes.
So you're not just the average dude like myself who went, cool, I think I'll take karate.
That's where I started.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
hey, fun fact.
Go ahead. Fun fact. I'm up for a fun
this
fact.
This just hit me.
6 minutes into the show.
I started taking karate. It was just karate. I'm not even familiar with the style. I don't know if the guy supposedly teaching it even knew what style he was teaching. He was terrible. At 10 years old.
Nice. What year was that?
I think it was 84. See, that's why I said this is a fun fact.
And
the summer of 84, yeah, I was 10. So what would that have been, 83, 84?
Somewhere there, yeah.
Same year Karate Kid came out?
And see, that's what I was going to say. Started studying Tong Sudo and Roscoe Tong Sudo under Tony LeGren and Miss Tammy Benet in 85.
Okay, yeah, it was 84. I just do the math in my head.
Was it?
Yeah, I was 10 years old, 84, same year Karate Kid came out.
And
I hated it and quit, just for the record. I did it for a summer and quit.
But why did you hate it?
My instructor was incredibly boring. He yelled at us. Felt like I was in military school.
Would you equate him to a John Kreese?
No.
Not even that good or not that?
I would equate him to John Kreese's janitor if he'd had one.
Okay.
He was terrible. I mean that. He was terrible.
Just not good with kids? Not good with kids. Or just not a good instructor?
Not a good instructor, not good with kids. Classes weren't fun. They weren't fun. This is why the kids' classes at my place are the way they are.
And I'll be the first to admit, and I've said this about anything. Anything you do in life. Anything. No matter what it is. You learn more when you have fun.
Yes.
My little personal interest, Zombie Apocalypse Survival Camp, we always try and make sure everybody has fun. No matter what else happens, have a little fun. And at the end of the day, you'll be surprised at how much you learned along the way. Right. I get to occasionally, little kids get tape. Once a week, they get a piece of tape on their belt to show that they showed up twice that week.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're trying. So one of the jobs I get to do is put the tape on the belt. Which seems like a silly thing. Until it's you like realize how awesome it is.
It's like you're giving them a strip of gold.
Yes. That little piece of tape, that little 4-inch piece of tape, is just like the greatest thing in the world to them. And they all line up for it. And it gives me an opportunity to talk to each one of them. And go, hey, did you have fun today? Did you have fun? Did you have fun? And certain kids, you know, I have a better rapport with than others. So like little Cora, I always say, did you have fun? And she just nods. And I always go, Cora, I'm not giving you anything until you talk to me. And she always gets this big crappy grin on her face. She goes, yes, I had fun. I quit. Leave me alone. But she's a sweetie. So I would say anybody that has 20 years in the martial arts, third degree black belt, second degree black belt, and is working towards a Hoist Gracie 15-year black belt.
I'm about halfway there, I think, at this point.
And owns his own academy, will qualify as an expert in the field. But that's just me.
Depends on who you ask.
Yes. Like I started to say, I started karate not long after Karate Kid came out. But I did Tong Sudo, which was, I don't know, different than Taekwondo, but not much. No, not a whole lot. It's a Korean art. Seoul, Korea, 1940-something or other. I don't remember now. Grandmaster Wong Ki. But I haven't studied for years. The bizarre part of this is, I started studying again in May,
mm-hmm.
which oddly enough was when Cobra Kai comes out. It started May 2nd. I don't remember when I started, somewhere around mid-May. You started like
2 weeks later.
Yeah, like 2 weeks later.
Because I showed up at the academy in my Firebird.
So yeah, this is just getting weirder and weirder for us. That's what you guys are dealing with at home. You're gonna get.
I believe when you came in, I said, "Welcome to Cobra Kai."
That's and that was kind of the joke when I told you I wanted to get back into it. Which, by the way, I think you tricked me, and I've told more than one person this. You invited me. Hoist Gracie was going to be at your academy,
right,
for a seminar,
right.
You invited me to come,
right.
And I have told numerous people this since. I said, he knew exactly what he was doing when he invited me to the seminar. He knew it. He knew I would come in. He knew I would get hooked. He knew I would be in up to my throat in days. And it wasn't what? It was a week later. I said, hey, dude, I need to talk to you.
Yeah, we were actually, Michelle and I were on our
you were on vacation. First
anniversary trip.
Yep. And then I was like, what more motivation do you need?
Do you need than, you know, Hoist Gracie coming over and, you know, showing you how to do the move?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. That didn't happen every day.
No. And that was pretty neat. He was UFC champion?
Yeah, several times.
Yeah, more than once.
Family started the UFC.
Yeah. So to have a guy like that stand there and go, no, here, hold your hands like this. I can't even believe you're talking to me. But it's kind of crazy to think that guy's just going to talk to you, you know?
Yeah.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird for me. It's not weird for you. You talk to him all the time, but I don't talk to him all the time.
Yeah, it took a while for me to get past that.
And I could see
I'm past it all the time at this point.
I could see all the other people in the class getting that same thing. Like when he'd come over and say, no, here, or how are you doing, or here, let me show you something. You could see the other guys like, oh, he's talking to me.
Right.
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think. You know, it's kind of a mess for him.
Yeah.
So it was kind of It's humbling.
I may have thought you might get interested.
Yeah,
I wouldn't use the word trick. I thought it might be fun for you.
I know now it was a hook. I know now you were just casting it out there, jerking the bait a little bit. Here comes guy. We'll reel him right into this.
Because you always ask me about
it. Well, I do.
You've always been interested. So why not ditch you in?
I have never lost my love of martial arts.
I know.
I never have. Not since I was 17 have I lost that love. I've always enjoyed it. And even like, you know, when you come home from John's and you'd be like, dude, I learned this new thing.
Check this move out.
Yeah, you would, man. We'd be there in your kitchen.
We'd be there a couple of summers. Check this one out. We did this one tonight. Check this out. This is so great.
And it was insane. And I enjoyed that. But now it's... So now I get to train with you regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's awesome. But I want the guys at home to know, and the girls, to understand that it's not just two guys reviewing Cobra Kai. You're talking about two guys in the martial arts, two guys with a love of martial arts.
Yes.
Two guys who are practitioners, at least one of which is I would consider an expert. So,
so I can't wrap my head around that, but thank you.
Well... Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. It's because you're humble and you're a decent human being that you have problems with that. But I bet if you asked John would consider you an expert in the field. Just as you consider John an expert in the field. He may be an expert in the field with 30 years experience. You're an expert, well, probably closer to 40 or 50, whatever John's got. But
he's been a little longer than I have.
Yeah. Along those lines, one of the things I wanted to mention is... My personal opinion is, with us doing a Cobra Kai podcast, and there's other podcasts out there that do Cobra Kai, they are good. I've listened to several that are really good.
I listened to a couple you sent me. They were good.
Yeah. Peter over at Cobra Companion.
That's the one you sent me, right? Yeah. They were good.
And more than that, I messaged Peter, and I told him what we were doing, what we want to do, and why we want to do it, and he thought it was excellent. He thought that was a good idea because, to his knowledge, also there was not anybody doing one from a martial arts perspective. I listened to another one called Sweep the Leg. It was very good. But Sweep the Leg does a lot of different things, but they also did Cobra Kai. They did Karate Kid, and they've done a number of movies. But also a very good podcast. I don't think, and you know this from martial arts, when somebody does something good, it doesn't mean that what I'm doing is any less.
Right.
We can be happy. You can do something good, see somebody else do it good or better, and still be happy for them. It doesn't, their success doesn't detract from my success.
Well said.
And I see that a lot, like when we train in class, the partners work together and roll. Like when I roll with Troy or you or Kayla or whoever. We're helping each other. And Michelle. Yes, we roll with Michelle too. But we help each other. You get, nobody's like trying to be, oh, I'm better than you at rolling. They are legitimately helping you.
Yes.
Oh, no, you missed this. Here's what you might have done. No, you need to keep your hands in. Troy's really good at it. And I'm sorry, but he is. He's really good at pointing out where you've made a mistake and teaching you along the way. Kayla did it with me the other night, too. She started to go for a choke, and I said, well, I know how to rip that choke out. And I put my hand up, and I didn't get... Oh, she goes, oh, no, you didn't get far enough under my finger. Try it again. Rather than going, no, you had your two moves, because we were doing checkmate, she actually said, no, try it again and do it right. Okay, cool. So I think that's the case with podcasting, and with anything, really. But, I mean, we use that for an example, because that's something you and I can both relate to.
You would be the expert in the room of podcasting, by the way.
I'm not that.
Compared to me, yes.
Comparatively speaking, perhaps, but no. Talking to Peter over at Cobra Companion, man, they put out a nice show. It's clean, it's crisp, they're on it. It's really impressive. But that's the introduction portion. I wanted you guys to kind of get to know us before we get into this, because we're going to hopefully do all 10 episodes. And maybe,
hopefully, we are doing all 10 episodes.
All right. And maybe do an 11th episode where we talk about what we hope to see in season 2. What would you think about that? So you ready to get into it? Episode 1?
Let's do this.
episode one, we start out with the old Karate Kid, the standard fight scene that everybody knows, the ending.
The unfortunate ending.
The unfortunate ending.
Let's be honest, yeah. Which side we're on.
And, well, I don't like to choose sides.
I have no problem choosing a side.
But I will say,
I'm confident the side I choose. I'm going to just put that out there right now. I don't play that middle-of-the-road Switzerland crap. I pick a side and I go.
The backstory, and I'm going to kind of assume that everyone here is old like me and has seen Karate Kid.
I saw it in theaters.
I believe I did too. And I saw it again on VHS, possibly beta at Davy Cook's house. I'm not sure. I think he had a beta set. We may have seen it on beta. Oh. But you remember the scene where they go in to sign up? And they're signing up. And they tell Daniel he's running late. So he needs to go back and get dressed.
Right.
So he goes back to the locker room. And the guy signing him in says, what belt is he? Mr. Yagi goes, well, what difference does it make? He says, well, the tournament's only open to like brown belts and above.
Right.
So Miyagi lies and said, oh, he's a black belt. Right. Then, do you remember what happens next? Miyagi reaches down and grabs the official's black belt that's sitting on his gear.
He steals it.
Hands it to the girl, and she takes it to him.
Yes.
So not only does he lie about Daniel being a black belt, then he steals an official's black belt.
Yes.
And see, now at the time I thought that was crap. And now I see why you and Michelle and a lot of other people embroider their names on their black belts, because apparently people are out stealing these things. I wouldn't have thought to steal somebody else's black belt, but here this gentleman, who may or may not have his own martial arts academy at his house.
Well, anyone can have their own martial arts. There's no governing body to stop you.
There's
from
no
saying,
like,
you know, you've created your own martial art, and here's my belt system, and here's this, and here's that. And because people do it all the time.
So I could just go out and create Guy Kane Doe.
Yes, you could.
Isn't a terrible name.
And you go online, you create your belt system, you order your belts, and you do that however you want. But that's
you don't have to register anywhere and go, here's my martial art?
No.
You just I can just have my own martial art.
Right, but that's for lineage map, right? Look at our academy, for example. We are affiliated with John Gaston.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also under Royce Gracie.
Okay.
Your rankings are
recognized by both those bodies.
By large founded organizations.
So who recognizes Miyagi-Do, as Daniel calls it?
Miyagi. And apparently the All Valley Karate Tournament.
Yeah. We'll get into that further. But so anyway, episode one opens with that epic battle between these two forces of good and evil. We've got Johnny Lawrence, who later in series and the Cobra Kai series, we find out that Johnny's been studying for years.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just this summer decide he wanted to study karate with the Japanese handyman in his apartment complex. He goes to a legitimate dojo.
Yes.
Learns from a legitimate instructor in a legitimate class in a legitimate setting. And works his way up through the rank to earn his black belt that, oddly enough, wasn't stolen from someone else.
I'd forgotten about that scene until you brought it up. That was great.
And so Johnny goes to the tournament and gets beat by this cheating, lying, stealing guy. And as we find out in episode one, that has had quite an effect on his life, because 34 years later, he has still got that kind of that burr under his saddle.
Yeah, it was his life's work. It was taken from him.
Yeah, he worked hard to
get
where he was.
And that's a pretty good shot to absorb.
Yeah, it's a little rough, isn't it?
Yes.
A little rough.
Yes. And people react differently to things like that. Some people get knocked down. They stay down.
Yeah.
Some people, jump right back up. Others take a little time, heal, reevaluate, and then, get a plan of attack to come back.
And
which is what Johnny ends up doing. It just takes a little longer.
Ultimately, yeah. But, you know, 34 years is a long time to be carrying that baggage.
Yes.
Now, so we open with Johnny laying in bed, and he's, you know, he wakes up, and he has a beer, and he gets ready, and he goes to work.
Yes.
And on his way to work, what does he see? It's a LaRusso billboard. Now,
I'm not sure. Let's you know the billboard, right?
The billboard is
like
foot.
In a half squat with a foot sticking out.
Yeah. The sidekick.
What
kind
kick
of
is that?
It's kind of a sidekick.
It's not. It looks like a.
It's a bad sidekick.
It looks like a dance move.
It's a Miyagi-Do sidekick, which explains why it sucks, but it's still.
It looks like a dance move of some sort. It's no.
And he's in a suit. It's a nightclub. That picture was shot.
What do I teach
nightclub?
You guys when you kick? Hands are up.
Hands are up. Yep.
Where's LaRusso's?
Hands down.
He's like down here, hands by the there's of course still visual.
I think he was boogieing. I think
looks
he nailed
like
it.
Some little dance move that he's doing. So, that's probably how he learned to do it in the first place. You know, with his fictional karate. His fictional karate instructor. Like I said, I picked a side that I'm good.
Now, I am not a martial arts expert. But I know a thing or two about the car business, having had a grandfather in the car business, an uncle in the car business, a father in the car business. And the lowest of the low in the car business are the guys who do their own commercials. Anybody that does their own commercial, I know. I'll take care of it. We'll fix that. When you do your own commercials in the car industry, it's kind of like saying, wow, I'm an idiot. Because I guarantee if you go anywhere, and you go, yeah, I'd like to do a 30-minute commercial.
Michelle, we don't have any car salesmen at the academy doing commercials. Do we?
No, we don't.
Okay, carry on.
Do we have any car salesmen at the academy?
Do their own commercials?
I don't think so.
Carry on.
But that's just like the lowest of the low in my life. And I've seen this all around. Anybody, and not just car salesmen, but especially car salesmen. I'll bet if you went someplace and went, hey, I'm really looking to advertise, and would you think it would be a good idea for me to do my own commercial? I guarantee almost everybody's going to go, no, don't do your own commercial. Hire an actor. Hire somebody. You know what I mean? I think it's the cheap, chintzy, crappy thing to do. But whatever, LaRusso, do your own commercials.
So when we start running like a Facebook ad of me doing a live video,
that's different.
Of class.
That's a little bit different.
Come train with us because we're the best around. Come train with us. That makes me now the cheesy.
You're the best around.
You caught it.
Thank you.
I was hoping you'd catch that reference.
You're welcome. But, yeah, I cannot stand you.
But that's different, right?
I think it is.
Okay. Because you'll probably be in the video somewhere.
Oh, no,
just
I don't.
That out there.
No, I don't believe
it. Oh,
that.
It'll be. Oh, yeah.
No, I don't
believe
that. Look, we even have a geriatric class. Be like me and Nick and what's his name over there. We'll just be standing in the back. Jeremy, that it? But yeah, I can't stand used car dealers that do their own commercials. That, to me, is just like, I don't know.
I can't stand LaRusso, but anyway, go on.
Yeah. But what do we see about Johnny? What are we seeing? We see that he's going to work. He's getting up early. He's going to work. He's doing what he can to make ends meet. He's living within his means. You don't see the guy going out buying an expensive car and having a lot of nice stuff. We see his apartment. It's not, you know, he's not got the 60-inch flat screen.
Right.
He's living within his means. He is what I would consider the backbone of America.
Oh, yeah.
The guy that's just the working man, the working stiff, trying to do the best he can with what he's got. And carrying around a few demons, admittedly, but, you know, at age 50, we all do. You think?
Mm-hmm.
Agreed? Am I off? Am I right?
No, I was just, you of all people should know how much I identify with.
Yeah, you've worked hard to get where you're at.
Waking
bro.
Up, going to a job you do not enjoy.
Absolutely. We've all done it.
And.
But you do what you got to do.
Yes.
With that, I mean, that's our attitude.
And then one day you just say, you know what? Time to open an academy.
Time to do you what
go,
you got to do.
Lawrence.
Yeah.
We've been there.
You got to do it. So then what happened? Oh, he gets fired.
Right.
Because some yuppie. Isn't happy with where he put up the TV. She gave him vague instructions.
Right.
Didn't go the way, so now she's upset. He loses his job. Not that it was a fabulous job to begin with. I'm sure he's capable of better things in life. He ends up at the mini mart, sees his little neighbor kid getting harassed by a couple of the high school bullies.
At the point, he ignored that fight for a while. He didn't tell
him. He did.
Leave the dork alone.
He didn't want to get involved, but these guys would have none of it.
He didn't have any part of it until they threw Miguel into his car.
Yeah, that was uncool.
So,
but he does come to the kid's rescue.
He probably should have done it sooner.
Stands up for the kid. Well, I think Johnny doesn't want... I don't think he likes confrontation. I think he tries to be anti-confrontational. I think he tries to avoid confrontation as much as possible. He tries to use common sense before self-defense.
I see what you did there.
If I may pull a line from
you. Part of our student creed, yes.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's what he's doing here. He's trying to go, you know what? I'm just going to maybe let this thing, maybe it'll just blow over. Maybe it won't be that big deal. The kid will walk away. Everybody thinks it'll be cool. And it doesn't. It gets out of hand. So he's forced to pull out the old karate moves.
Yes.
And he does pretty good.
And pull a groin in the process.
Yes, he did. Poor guy.
Hey, guys our age, you haven't done a kick like that in a long time. You go for the old crescent kick right off the bat. that's pain you feel.
For a long time, yeah.
You watching it.
Yeah, you go, ooh, dude, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can totally picture that. I thought that was one of the more realistic scenes in the...
Yes, because he did it out of what? Instinct. That was just his... just what he did. Boom. He just reacted.
Yep.
And that's what I like about it. A good martial artist doesn't break the whole thing down before they have to react. It's just there. Out of years of training.
Right.
And repetition over and over, that's your reaction.
Right.
And that was his, which was kind of cool to see.
And, like, what Tony always said to us in class, it's how you train is how you react.
Right.
And he, you know, trained and he reacted. So even after many years of maybe not practicing.
Still there.
It was still there. So was he justified? Yeah, I think it was justified.
Absolutely.
I think that's the right thing to do. When you see five guys picking on one guy, it's kind of the nice thing to maybe get involved.
Yeah.
If you can help somebody and you choose not to, that bothers me.
Nobody goes out and picks a fight with four other guys.
Yeah. No matter how bad they want to take on four guys.
You just don't go do that.
No, nobody does that. So anyway, he ends up going to jail for it. He gets out. He comes home, finds his asshole stepfather.
Yes. Sid.
Sid, being a butthead.
Good to see Ed Asner again.
Yeah.
I thought the guy was dead.
I was going to say, I'm not entirely sure where they dug him up, but it was
what
nice to see.
Ed Asner,
who was old when Mary Tyler Moore came out back in the 70s.
Yes.
So he's like, got to be 100, man.
Was it Lou Grant? Well, we're showing
Lou Grant.
Our age.
That was his name, Lou Grant.
And he got his own show.
But he was Mary Tyler Moore, then he was Lou Grant. He was on Mary Tyler Moore as Lou Grant, and he had the Lou Grant show. I don't know what he's been doing since Lou Grant. I really don't. Anyway.
Very political.
He shows up. He's a butthead. He leaves that night, and this is a scene that I think has been overlooked by a lot of other people. The Iron Eagle scene.
Oh, I think it's one of the best scenes in.
It's truly iconic.
Next to the Head Games montage. Which we're coming to, yes.
Yes. I think...
Chappie's speech
where he says, God gave you a power deep down inside you. He gave you something. God gave you this gift. And I think that... Because I've heard some people say, well, the reason he opened the dojo was because he wanted to help Miguel. Or the reason he opened the dojo was because of this. And we'll get into it a little further.
No, he's doing what he was meant to do all his life.
And that's what I think. Yeah, that's what I think. I think it was just a matter of the timing. It happened to be that Miguel...
Once again, personal experience on that one. That was...
Yeah.
You know when it's time to just go.
When it's time, it's time.
And you do it.
Right. So then he... course, has to see another stupid Daniel LaRusso doing his own commercials again.
Bonsai!
Again, the worst thing you can do.
I would have broke my TV, too.
I would have found the TV station and broke the antenna, personally, but that's me. So now we have the most relatable scene.
Sweep the TV leg.
it brings us to what I feel is the most relatable scene in the entire series. This entire 10-episode series, roughly 5 hours, the most relatable scene for me is the drunk driving montage. That whole head games, you know, looking back on, wow, I really had it great, and then this butthead showed up and everything went to crap.
Yeah. Well, there's always songs like that you used to listen to that'll just bring back
those little memories.
Things. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Good and bad.
And I've heard some people say, well, you know, Johnny's stuck in the 80s. And it's like, really?
You know, if you're going to be stuck somewhere, I think the 80s are a fabulous.
That's a great place to be stuck. Yeah. But you got LaRusso, who's still pretending to chop prices and handing out bonsai trees.
Yes.
Which was some crap that happened in the 80s, too. So, you don't crap on Johnny for being stuck on the 80s and not mention that LaRusso is.
Right. LaRusso is just as much stuck in the...
Living off that one accomplishment.
Yes. And even when Johnny walks into the dealership, what's the first thing LaRusso does? Point out, this is the guy.
This is the guy, yeah. We went to school together, but...
That could have been left out.
Yeah. So anyway, he has his... drinking montage, yeah. Then his car gets hit. Parks outside the All Valley Arena. He's having some flashbacks.
Nothing wrong with that. You go back, you reminisce, you walk by the front of the building, you know.
You know, I don't know about you. I have personally drove by places where I used to park with young ladies back in the day, you know, women that were significant to me.
No, I haven't done that one.
Where you kind of drive by and you go, wow, you know, whatever. Sarah and I used to park over here and make out. It's so cool, you know. Because you drive by and you see the place and it brings back that memory.
I say I go by the baseball diamond, remember?
So you go by the diamond, ball. You remember playing ball. I wasn't a sports guy. I have gone back to my old Boy Scout camp on Shiloh.
There you go.
Cool, you know, we used to stay in that lodge and this and that. But, so you go back to these places that mean something to you. And that's what Johnny's doing. He's going back to a place that meant something to him. Parks his car and gets hit. Now, the forerunner to this is he sees the girl in the back street seat, which we know is LaRusso's daughter, right. Samantha. So now the next day, Johnny has to go get his car. And again, trying to avoid confrontation, trying to use common sense.
Johnny is still, as he was in the first movie, trying to do the right thing.
He is. Always. Always trying to be the calm one, always trying to avoid confrontation. He puts his hood up, he puts his glass on. I know this guy is probably going to recognize me.
Go in there incognito, get in, get out.
I'm going to sneak in, sneak out. That's right. I just want to get my car and get out of here. I don't want the confrontation. He's trying to use common sense again. And it all, of course, backfires. Now, LaRusso offers to pay for the car and this and that, which...
I did like that. That was nice.
That seems nice. I agree. But it comes across as kind of a douchey...
Condescending.
Hey, I'm doing really well, and clearly you're not, because look at you. You drive a 91 Firebird. That look he gives him when he goes... Firebird?
Yeah, first of all, I have a problem with that. Again, LaRusso. What's wrong with the Firebird? I own a quite nice one myself.
Yeah. And it's not like he'd seen the car. He was just going off what it said on the computer.
Firebird, suddenly the car you don't own?
Yeah. Like
really?
Really, Johnny? A Firebird? Dude, that alone would get you slapped in certain circles.
Yes. Ours.
Yeah, ours. Yeah, this one in particular. But still. So I thought that was kind of a jerky move. A lot of people go, oh, he was being nice. I'm not sure he was.
It was nice. I'm not sure he was. But LaRusso couldn't help throw that LaRusso arrogance out there.
Yeah, while he's kind trying. Of arrogant. He is really arrogant in this whole thing.
Yes.
And here's where it gets... Now, about then, Johnny doesn't have a lot of choices. So he kind of consents to let him fix the car for And he walks away. LaRusso walks away, and here comes the girl.
Yes.
And you see Johnny go, are you kidding me? Now, at this point, if I'm Johnny, I'm going, that girl was involved in the accident that totaled my car. It's his daughter, because she says, oh, hi, Daddy. Now, wouldn't you in the back of your mind be going, oh, he knew his daughter was involved.
It would probably
he's
come up.
Trying to smooth this over so that I don't go to the cops, and he's paying for my car.
Right.
So it's not really...
We find out later that's not the case, but...
No, but yes. From Johnny's standpoint,
Yeah,
your daughter was involved in a hit and run. You don't want her to get in trouble, so you're going to fix my car for free.
Right.
What I thought was a nice gesture now looks very much like you trying to avoid any legal entanglements.
Yes.
And it's very easy for us sitting at home because we have all the facts, but from Johnny's point of view, he doesn't know. He's in the middle of this. He doesn't see everything that's going on. All he sees is what he sees. And what he sees is a girl involved in a hit and run turning out to be the daughter of his childhood nemesis, who is doing what this nice thing, only to cover up.
Right.
So that's the way I took it. That's the way.
I never looked at it that way until you just said that.
Yeah, I really think you have to, if you look at it from Johnny's point of view.
LaRusso, once again, the passive-aggressive boy.
Oh, he's a jerk.
Can still get one up on
his son. Yeah, and that's what it is. It's always about getting one up.
It is.
It's always about getting one up. Oh, here, let me pick up the radio for you on the beach and be the nice guy and hand it back. And then sucker punch Johnny.
Yes.
Jerk. You really got to win. But I think, and I made a note here, it says, you know, this is our first glimpse of seeing Daniel's true colors. That he's condescending.
His viewership?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, that's where we first get this. What a jerk. What a con.
100%.
I've got a lot more money than you. I beat you in karate 34 years ago. Which he has to go out and, you know, make a point of saying in front of the guys that work for him.
Yes.
Why would you call those guys over? Hey, guys, come here and meet this guy. Why would you do that?
I'm trying to figure that out myself.
Is there any legitimate reason you would do that? Is it because you want them to meet your old high school friend? No, you guys were never friends.
No, it was...
So why do it? Other than just to rub Johnny's nose in.
It was him trying to pull an alpha move.
That's exactly it. Why would you do that?
It was an alpha move to knock Johnny down a little more and show the guys that worked for him, hey,
I'm the cool.
Not only did I tell you about this, but here's the guy I actually beat.
Yeah.
He's in here. And by the way, take a look at him. We're all in suits. Look at what he's wearing.
Yeah, look at him.
It was just, it was, there's no class in that movie whatsoever.
Yeah, it was terrible. And that, to me, sets up Daniel LaRusso for the entire series.
Yeah.
He never rises above this. Never rises above where he's at here. If anything, he gets worse. But he never becomes the bigger man.
No.
He never becomes the nice guy that he has been made out to be for the last 30-plus years. But that's just me.
Well, we can go back through every single Karate Kid movie and point out how LaRusso's pattern is to disrupt others' lives and then play the victim role.
Right.
I mean, that's what he does.
Now, at this point, Johnny goes back and he talks to Miguel and says, hey, if you want to do this, you know, understand this is a serious thing.
One of the greatest speeches ever.
Oh yeah, you like the
one that came after that.
The karate that your generation so desperately needs.
Yes, your blank generation so desperately needs.
Yes, yeah. But there's been some argument, I think, with regards to why now. Why did he agree to do it now? Was it because of LaRusso? You think it was because of LaRusso? But I don't see that. I really don't see that. Because what does him opening a dojo and helping Miguel have to do with his relationship with LaRusso? I don't see that connection.
Rock bottom.
Well, I can see that. Hey, I don't really have a lot of other options.
There's nothing.
Now's my chance to do this thing.
Everything fell into place at the right time.
Yeah.
Right? Lost the job. Stepfather gives him the check.
Yep.
And says, get out of my life.
Yep. So he's got the financial backing.
Yep, at that point he's got that. And LaRusso was the last little push to send him over the edge and make him just realize this needs to happen now.
And I think he still wouldn't have done it, but for the one last thing that LaRusso says. He goes, hey, it wasn't you, it was Cobra Kai.
Yes.
What a crap thing to say, man.
We're all better off without it, right? And something like that he said.
Yeah, we're all better off without it. Now, I'm sure from Johnny's perspective, dude, Cobra Kai, that was his family. Those were his friends. That was his family all through high school, through his developmental years.
Well, Kreese was a father figure.
Kreese was Sid a father was no dad. Figure. Yeah. And now for you to go, oh, that was all junk. That was a horrible
That was
thing.
The rock bottom final straw.
Yeah. I think this if he's happening. Left out that last line where he'd said, hey, we're all better off without Cobra Kai, I don't think there'd be a Cobra Kai. I don't think Johnny would have went back and opened the dojo.
Nah, Chappie. Chappie already had him.
Well, you know.
You can't deny Chappie's motivational speech. Chappie already had him there.
That's the only argument you can make. That is really the only argument. That's the only acceptable
what,
argument.
Chappie?
Yeah, the Chappie. Because that was motivational as heck, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But so we have this combination of Chappie and the best years of my life and Cobra Kai and everything all come together at this, and the money,
mm-hmm.
all come together at this. It's a perfect storm.
It is.
And then, and so he offers to help Miguel.
And you have a kid that he can now help.
Yeah, a student
do something that John Kreese did for him. He's
right.
Not in a position to do the same thing for someone else. Bring
right.
it forward, if you will.
And we do find out later that Johnny was very much a Miguel.
Oh, yeah.
Slightly younger.
He saw himself, though.
Yeah. So, yeah, it wasn't hard for him to look at that little kid and go, yeah, dude, I wish you once. I was geeky.
Johnny
I was
Lawrence
annoying. I
is
was
a great guy.
He is.
But you cannot deny this at this point.
He's a fabulous human being.
And the speech we were talking about on the sensei, your, was it blank generation needs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And what did Miguel ask him after the fight? What was that? Was that MMA or jiu-jitsu?
Right,
what was
right,
that?
Right. He didn't even know.
Martial arts is lost on so many people these days because they see, you know, nothing against UFC, but they just see fighting. They don't understand
right.
the discipline side of it and the if you want to go there, the spiritual side of it. Everything you get out of
yep.
it. And by spiritual, I mean the confidence, the you know, the feeling you get when you kind of start doing some of the techniques you've been taught and you start seeing them come to you if you're sparring or rolling or whatever.
Right.
And they start becoming automatic and you start being able to do things you never thought you could do.
And
that's a big boost.
Right.
That's what it does for people.
And you and I talked about this even years ago. We talked about the spiritual side, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
That was the word we used then, too.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, how many years ago in Rushville,
well, because
Illinois.
You get guys who are just, you know, and I'll have no problem saying it. It's just thugs who want to fight
yeah.
and want to legitimize that by saying, well, you know, I'm going to take this and I'm going to go fight. And of course, we don't allow that in my place. Those guys will stay.
Right.
They barely make.
And that was one of the things I have at my age. I walk in there, I have no desire to fight. I'm 50 years old.
Right.
Why would I want to fight? I don't want to fight. I have no desire to fight. I'm 50 years old. Do you know how long it takes me to recover from a hangover? Why would I want to try and recover from a fight?
Well, and you watch Johnny in that fight where he's protecting Miguel.
Sure.
Let's be honest. He was protecting
Miguel. He's protecting him, yeah. 4-on-1 is bullcrap.
As much fun as it might sound to some people, it's
sure.
not a fair fight.
It's not a good time.
And so, but you watch, it's self-defense. It's
yeah.
nothing fancy. It's not some aerial kick where they had to use, you know, cables to suspend the guy.
A
Karate
step
Kid,
ladder.
Karate Kid remake. That crap.
Step ladder.
Yeah.
138
yeah.
takes. On
yes.
Step ladder. Yeah.
So let's just be honest. That was that we've talked. That doesn't exist. That movie does not exist in my world. It might.
Oh, then.
The remake.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I've been trying to figure out. Anyway, because I
yeah.
know Will Smith is a producer on this show.
Yeah, because he owns KK1.
Yeah.
Owns it. Owns it.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Is that so they could remake it? And do
yeah,
all that
they,
stuff?
He bought it so his kid could be in it.
Yeah,
that
was a bad
move. They had to give him a
That was a terrible
credit.
Movie. Oh, wait, it didn't happen.
I can honestly say I've never seen it. So
oh,
for
don't,
me,
don't
it really
watch
does.
It.
I won't. I wouldn't have.
Don't
wouldn't.
Watch it. It's awful.
I wouldn't.
So anyway, but if you watch that fight scene, there's nothing flashy or fancy. It's you know,
very rudimentary.
Grabbing the wrist,
yeah.
sidekick here, spin into this guy, control the other guy while you redirect this guy
yeah.
and just a knee to the face. And, you know, it's a lot of stuff that we teach.
Yeah.
to an extent.
There was a good elbow there, too. There was
a nice
there was a pass with an
shot,
elbow,
yeah.
which we'd just done last week.
We just did that in class with
yeah.
the tackle.
Right.
Oh, my gosh, they did that, didn't they?
Yeah, he does that.
I never realized
that. Boom, he elbows that guy right across the shoulder. Yeah, he steps to
the side, redirected the guy, and dropped the elbow. Yep. So when he says that, he says it was karate. It was old school karate.
Old school karate.
And, which, I thought it was great to see some of that, in there.
It was not flashy.
No.
No. No. It was not a hurricane kick. It was not,
No, there was no, tornado kick, nothing like that, which those are fun too. But, it's not, it was just very realistic.
Yeah.
And I think people forgot how effective martial arts can be. Right. Without gloves on, without, you know my take on that, without rules.
Right.
Without.
Yeah. When there's no rules,
without
it's a whole
time
other game.
Limits and, right. All that stuff. Don't get me. We'll save that for another day.
And you notice he didn't do any round kicks in that entire fight scene.
No.
Not a single
front kick.
I wonder why that was.
Because they're not that effective. Because
they don't do crap.
They don't work.
No.
They don't work. They're flashy and they're for tournaments. They don't work.
Which reminds me, I did one time in my life use a round kick.
Did you really?
Yes. One time in my life, I got into a scuffle with a gentleman over a lady, as fate would have it. And I
was
gave
him
an
alley?
No.
Was it at a beach?
No, it was not at a beach. It was in an apartment.
Involve a radio?
Did not involve a stereo.
Was the other guy wearing is it an apartment?
It was in an apartment.
Was the other guy wearing like a skeleton costume?
No,
skeleton costumes?
No. It was just me and him.
Did the older janitor come in and save you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Dave Campbell was there drinking. Dave Campbell was having a refreshment and watching it. And
anyway,
smiling.
Carry on.
But it did what it needed to do in that this gentleman that thought he was going to take care of business found out, oh, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not. Maybe this isn't going to be the two-hit fight I'd hoped it'd be. Maybe this guy is a little more prepared than I had anticipated.
Yes.
So it did have that kind of that, hold on a second. It made him stop and think, maybe this was not the time or the place. So it was effective in that regard. He didn't fall to the ground. He didn't have to go to the hospital.
He didn't shatter his ribs.
No,
shot.
Nothing happened other than it just made him stop and think and reevaluate the situation. And decide that perhaps he should just walk back out and get in his car and leave, which he did.
And that's a win.
And that was
everybody
a win.
Wins in
that.
That
was a
you
win.
Won. He walks away.
That's
the best possible way to end.
But it was probably the only time a round kick ever did anything other than score a point. But it was a good fight scene. Hopefully, we'll have more of those.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add about episode one?
I'm trying to think. Is anything we left out? I wanted to touch on. Oh, the subtle thing at the end when you and I just watched it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When he is
great scene, yeah.
Getting ready to open the dojo.
Yep.
And the newspapers are on the floor.
He's just painted the
yes, the
Cobra Kai motto kind
strike
of thing.
Strike first, strike hard, no mercy. And which I liked the stencil.
That was very realistic, wasn't it?
Very
80s. Yeah.
Very
yeah.
80s. Very old school. I liked it a lot.
I imagine there's still dojos today that have got. They stencil things.
You should stencil something on the wall of mine. Strike first, strike hard.
No, I don't think that would fly well next time you have a seminar.
Probably not.
You'd like be over there with a sheet. You'd have a sheet over it.
It might go,
Andy, why is there a sheet on your wall?
But no, he gets done painting. The newspapers are on the floor, and right at the bottom corner of that, where the paint can is sitting, you see the LaRusso Luxury Motors ad. And you see it just for about 2 seconds before Johnny's foot steps on it as he walks.
Yeah.
Oh, that was very significant.
Nice imagery.
That way, yes.
Nice imagery there, yeah.
Yes.
Well done.
Yes.
Well done.
Then he ties the headband on. Headbands in karate, thoughts? I know you've desperately wanted to get one and wear it.
Headbands
to class
in,
for the last few weeks.
Headbands in karate were awesome in the 80s. I can say that I didn't go to a lot of tournaments, but I went to a few tournaments that I participated in that I watched.
Did you wear a headband?
I do not remember ever seeing anyone wear a headband at a tournament, ever.
Cool.
And I think my instructor said back in the day, if you want a headband, yes, you can order it from me. Yes, you can wear it in class, but I approve it before you order it. So he wasn't just going to let us have any headband. We had to, because I think there were some that were just horrible at the time. I mean, they were just so cheap.
I think that was all of them.
They were all cheesy, yeah. I think he said we couldn't have the Karate Kid one. He said he'd order it, but you couldn't wear it in class.
Well, Rob Macchio stole that from the set.
He still owns it.
Yes, he didn't own it, he stole it.
There's a rumor.
You know, just like his black belt.
Yeah, just like
his stole
imagine
it.
That. Now, and here's something we'll touch on more as this goes on, but how much of an influence do you think a sensei has on a student? A lot, right?
I think a lot is an understatement.
An enormous amount. So we have one sensei, John Kreese, who runs a reputable studio, who teaches discipline as part of his curriculum. Then we have another guy who lies to officials at a tournament, steals a belt from an official at a tournament.
Well, and probably broke a few child labor laws
in Lewis's training.
Let's be honest with that.
Gracious.
He got his whole backyard redone.
And even the greatest martial arts student in the world is going to take 2.5 years to become a black belt?
Oh, at least.
But what if he trains really hard every day for an entire summer? He'd be a black belt then, wouldn't he?
Only if that summer was the last part of his 2.5 to 3
right,
years.
Exactly.
And 2.5 stretching him, man. 3.5.
Yeah.
You know.
So, you know.
And that's in most martial arts. Like I said, it's not
What kind of art is Miyagi-Do where you can go from Joe Blow? Now, they do allude to in Karate Kid. Daniel had some martial arts classes
at the Y. Yeah.
Yep. He'd taken some classes at the Y before he ever went to Miyagi. But was it 2.5 years worth? It was not the impression I got.
Not from that fight on the beach.
No. I don't know what that block thing was. What was that crap he was doing? Have you ever seen anybody do that?
That little, he's fighting like
Yeah,
this.
He's got like one hand up like he's doing a high block and the other hand's like mid, I don't know.
Yeah, it was like this. I don't
know.
Really
weird.
It looked like he was already preparing to be recovering from a kick. With this hand down here.
And the sucker
That's
punch.
What it looked like, yeah.
Is that, where do you learn that? That must be like a blue belt thing. Maybe blue belt, brown belt. Is that where they teach you the sucker punch? Because I've never learned that yet.
I don't know. It was you've seen our students, right? So, I've got orange belts, and we're talking, on the karate side. People have been in these 6 months.
Yeah. That were already better than what Daniel was at that point, yeah.
Yes.
So, again, am I wrong that the driving montage is perhaps the greatest scene in the entire series?
Can you think of a better scene?
And then, how about the most relatable scene in the entire series? Maybe not the best scene, but the most relatable scene.
I did love the fact when they put on Nothing But a Good Time by Poison, and the Cobra, as he turned the corner, and the Cobra Kai logo just splashed up on the screen.
Yeah.
In that 80s writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, we sound like we're stuck in the 80s just like John and Daniel.
Like you said.
But
if you got to be stuck, where else would you want to be?
80s. I'll take the 80s.
Yeah. And I have talked to some 90s people. 80s must have been awesome. Yes, they were. Yes, they were.
The 90s weren't that good.
They weren't horrible.
The early 90s weren't bad because they still had some of the 80s left in them.
And you know, the thing that kills me is when people start badmouthing the 80s, they always go, oh, the hair. Like, dude, the hair was awesome. But the girls all had big hair. Yeah, that was the style. You know, if you go back, every decade has its own kind of style.
Yes.
You know, in the 70s, it was unwashed and straight and crappy and dirty and filthy and unwashed. Yeah, I said it twice because important. In the 80s, we were at least clean. Acid wash jeans.
Yes. Which are coming back.
I cannot wait. I would pay good money to see that. I would love to see that. The one, remember the ones the chicks wore that had the high thing?
Yeah.
Kind of the V and the...
Yeah.
Yeah. My girlfriend had those. Those were great.
Did you have those, Michelle?
Yeah. Did you really? Yeah, the high waist with the acid wash and the one they had the kind of the V that came up from the buttons.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Is that Mike picking her up? I was hoping it would.
Oh, I think so.
Say something again, hon.
I said
you guys did wear those. Yeah, it's kind of quiet.
Yeah. That's my wife, by the way.
Also a black belt.
Yes. Yes. Also from the 80s.
Bless her.
Also a fabulous picture of her with...
The big hair. Did she have the hair?
Big hair.
Oh, my gosh. You've seen it, right? We got to dig that out. No, we got to dig that out.
I will dig this out while we're talking.
I love that.
So it's going to take me a few minutes. I keep it on my phone because it's one of the greatest photos I've ever had in my life.
Well, he's doing that. Find us on Facebook, Cobra Kai Experience. On Facebook, it's not hard to find. There's a picture of myself and Andy together there.
We should get a picture of us starting, you know, finishing up the podcast. So we've got something, you know, for first podcast complete. We'll post that on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Something like that. Yeah, we'll do that. I'm getting there. Give me a minute. I'm almost there to this amazing picture.
You know, I posted the yearbook photo. Did you see that yearbook photo I posted? It was all women. It happened to be a yearbook page that was all girls, and they all look exactly the same. The hair is all different colors, but it's all exactly the same style. And I had a lot of people on my friends list go, dude, for a minute, I thought that was my yearbook page.
I thought it was too.
And I'm like, dude, it's everybody's yearbook page from the 80s.
There were two girls in there that looked like some girls from my class. And I'm like, oh, wow.
But they all looked alike. It was fabulous. I love those days. And somebody told me there was a thing where, like, your hair was supposed to be, like, your face was only supposed to make up one third of the width. Really? So your hair was supposed to be as white as your face on either side of your face, you know? Yeah. It was fabulous. I always liked it because it went straight up. The bangs went straight up. And then when they turned sideways, it was like this. It didn't go like this. It was just straight up. That was fabulous. Oh, my God. And it's in soft focus. What a babe. Holy cow. Oh, my gosh.
How great is that? I know, right?
Cow. Dude, I would have this made into a poster and put it on my ceiling. That's simple. Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that a great photo?
Oh, we've got to use this on the page, on the Cobra Kai Experience.
We just won't say it's her.
It'll just be third mic. M-I-C. M-I-C, Mike. Not M-I-K.
M-I-C.
Wow, that is awesome M-C. Picture.
Isn't it great?
The only thing missing is her class ring. If your class ring had been on that finger right there, it would have been every senior picture ever. Or if you'd had some other boys, you know, like one of, remember the boys, how you wrap yarn around it to your boyfriend's ring fit? Yeah, if that had been on there, oh, that'd been the bomb.
Yeah, awesome. I posted that on Facebook. I said, this is my wife after
fabulous.
Her fresh off her appearance in a Whitesnake video.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it does. That is total Whitesnake.
Yeah,
yeah, you should be sitting on a car.
All right, what else you got, man?
That's it. That's it for me. We're good. I think we did good. We came in at under an hour. This will edit
nice.
Out just under an hour.
Nice.
Happy with that?
Yeah.
Hope everybody else is.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, if they're not, that's okay. I'm Team Cobra Kai all the way.
Team Cobra Kai?
I'm not going to blur any lines on which side I'm on, who I'm supporting the show.
Well, and it's kind of hard to not be on the side of the legitimate martial artist when you're a legitimate martial artist.
Yes. Yes. But how many people have you seen in the Cobra Kai Facebook groups that still stick up for Dan?
Yeah, I don't get that.
I don't know. We should set up.
A lot of them aren't martial artists. I think, and that may be the deciding factor. The martial artists are going to be more pro-Johnny because they appreciate how much effort he went into or how much effort he put into becoming a champion at the Gold Valley.
He had 1 year to make it work.
Yeah, he had 1 year. That was another thing I was going to say. If I have any fault with episode one, it's that they called it Ace Degenerate. I don't see Johnny as ever being a degenerate.
He referred to himself as an ex-degenerate.
And I agree that would be an excellent title for episode one. Not Ace Degenerate, but ex-degenerate. You know, like all of us in high school, we had a little bit of a wild side. I'm sure Johnny did too. But he recognized senior year, bam. Time to clean up my act, get ready for the world.
Yep.
Go out here, I'm going to knock this thing, I'm going to ace it, I'm going to uphold my title, and boom, I'm going to go forward. And he got screwed.
Yes.
By a lying, cheating
Car salesman.
Car salesman.
Nothing against car salesmen. Don't mean anything against car salesmen. Yeah, like I said, know quite a few that are actually quite great.
I come from a long line of car salesmen.
We might want to edit that one.
I got to believe that if you're a used car salesman, you have a sense.
When they know I'm a martial arts instructor, do that crane kick crap.
Oh my gosh. Really?
Can you teach me that? No. Why not? This is an actual conversation, by the way, some kid. Older kid. Like that. Sensei Cassidy, can you teach me that kick from the Karate Kid? I'm like, what kick? And they show me, and I'm like, no, I won't teach that. I'm like, why? I said, it doesn't work. No. Oh, really? I said, no, it doesn't work. I said, watch Johnny Lawrence. That's how you actually
get fights. Yeah. And that should be the role model that kids aspire to. The guy that worked and worked and worked to get to where he's at, not the guy that hooks up with an old Asian guy and steals a belt and lies and cheats and steals his way into a championship.
Right. Just one way, just one after the other.
Yeah, there was no end to it.
Well, it's like, with my, I know we said we're going to wrap up. Now we've
actually That's okay. Gone over. That's okay. We'll make
it. We work. Talk about the impact an instructor has on their students.
Yes.
Right? Youth and adult.
Yeah.
Right? So, why would you want to set that kind of example, knowing that's going to carry out and carry over throughout their lives?
Well, I think that's the difference between being a legitimate instructor and being the maintenance man at an apartment complex. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When your name's on the door and your name's associated with the academy or the dojo,
you have a lot to uphold.
Right.
I've had this discussion.
There's a standard you have to live up to.
Yes. If you are on the floor teaching kids, even adults, especially with kids, and they're looking up to you, you have to hold yourself accountable.
Yeah.
For certain things you do and the way you live your life at that
point. Absolutely.
Because people, whether you like it or not, are going to look up to you.
Yeah.
And what kind of example do you want to be at that point?
Yeah. Do you want to set the good example and maybe be stern but fair? Or do you want to set the, well, I lie, cheat, and steal example, which is...
I go with stern and fair every day.
Yeah.
Every single day.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with a little discipline in the dojo.
No. Not at all.
I don't see a problem with that.
Not at all. Hopefully don't need it very often. There's always an adjustment period when kids come in.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
But I've seen it. I think with the kids' classes.
I think the new kids draw their example not just from the instructors, but from the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they see the other kid, he said to lock it up, and look, they're all sitting here. Okay, I better do that too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the new kids don't know the...
And they look to the kids for what to do.
Right. Right. They fall in line.
Yeah.
Sort of. Nice.
They do. They do.
And that may be another thing where having a legitimate studio has it over being, again, the janitor at the local apartment complex, you know. Who else does he have? What camaraderie is there? What... You know, where does he learn? He's only learning from that one influence. He's not getting any sense of discipline. He's not.
No.
He doesn't ever refer to Mr. Miyagi as sensei. Whereas you have the other kids, you know, Sensei Kreese, blah, blah, blah.
I kind of wonder, it's like, you know, we talk about examples and things like that. Which we'll get into some of Johnny's stuff later. Johnny few, you know.
Well, I think he has his own personal style, and he's new, and he has to
personal style.
He has to come into that.
Yes,
you know, your first class, you're probably not the same instructor you are now.
Oh, not even close.
See what I mean? And I think we get to witness that with Johnny. You know, we get to see him. I think we're going to see a lot of different stuff in season two, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
But yeah, his teaching style may be unorthodox. We'll see that again later. We'll see more of this, but I don't think it's bad. I think it's just unorthodox.
I agree. I'll agree with that.
You good?
I'm always good. We're talking about Cobra Kai. How could it be bad?
I was going to say, how bad could it be?
Cobra Kai.
Not only that, we're going to do it 9 or 10 more times.
I know. You think Fallone's listening?
I hope so. We should do some shout-outs. You got any shout-outs? Anybody want to shout-out to?
Well,
besides Todd?
Besides... The Todd Fallone.
The Todd Fallone. The Troy Friday, as I refer to
him. The Troy Friday. John Toomey.
John Toomey.
Yeah. Can't leave John out.
You know who's going to be listening at work?
Who?
Mongo.
Mongo.
Mongo listens to podcasts at work.
Does he really?
Yeah, he told me the other day. So I had to send him links to my other show. My
old What's show. Up, Corey?
So he may remember who else.
Mr. Gason's listening. What's up? Jason Upton will probably be picking up on this.
Jason,
so,
yeah, Jason will be listening.
Jason Upton, man. How are you?
So, brother, keep up with that guitar, man. You got this.
Who else? I'm joking. Kenny Ray. Hey.
Kenny Ray. Of course, Kenny Ray.
I would say my wife, but she's at the table with us.
Pink belt Kayla? God. Kayla Pink belt.
The Springfield people might pick up on this, too. I'll have to share it, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll do more shout-outs. We'll do a few shout-outs every episode.
You know, they can request shout-outs on the page.
Absolutely, yeah. If you go to our Facebook page, again, Cobra Kai Experience.
We should do a call-in show sometime, too.
I'd love to do that.
I would love to do a call-in show. Just fans. I don't need celebrities.
Yeah. This isn't... I hope this show is geared more towards martial artists instead of just being everybody. I hope everybody enjoys it, but I hope the martial artists enjoy it and understand it more so.
Whereby we name tricks. Everybody in that list of you would just name.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there will be other martial artists. There's going to be martial artists all over the country, I'm sure, who will find this podcast in time and hear it and be like, oh, yeah, I get it, you know? That's what I want. More than for this to be an ultra popular or anything like that. It's always nice, the more people listen, the happier you are. But
sure.
I would be really happy if martial artists that I'd never heard of started messages and going, dude, I listen to the show. You're right about this or that, or you make a good point about this. I disagree with this, but I see your point, you know, so on and so forth. Having been a martial artist for 10 years, 20 years, whatever, I see, I understand, blah, blah, blah. And I'm hoping we get to that point.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
We welcome any input.
Yeah.
Within reason.
Yeah. Again, shout out to the other shows. Cobra Kai Companion, I really like. Sweep the Leg, I really like. I've not got a chance to listen to Cobra Guys, which was our first choice for names, only to find out it was taken. But I will be listening to some of their shows. I hear it's very good, so I don't know.
I'll check that one out.
Cobra Companion, man. They get all the interviews. Martin Cove has done
it. They should throw some our way.
Yeah. Peter, if you're listening, man, feel free to throw us some of those guys if you want. But not yet. Let us get a few more episodes under our belt, and we'll do some.
We just don't want Ralph Macchio.
Yeah, anybody but him.
Or do we want him?
No, I don't listen. I don't want to listen to him whining, crying, talking about his 57 Ford that he stole off the set with his headband that allegedly sold for $16,000 recently, by the way.
$16,000. The headband. I think that the Ford.
No, the headband.
It's pretty cheap for the Ford.
There's a rumor that he sold the headband at auction for $16,000.
Of course he did.
I don't believe it. But it's true. All right. Called rap?
Yeah, as long as we don't get Ralph Macchio on the show.
Yeah, no Ralph. No
Billy Zabka, anytime.
Dude, anytime.
We won't pull that one off. It would be pretty great.
And from what I hear about him, he would be the guy that would go, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll do that.
But we'll reach out.
Yeah, maybe we should reach out. He's on Twitter. I understand he's big on Twitter. You got a Twitter account?
I used to, but it got hacked, so I deleted it.
Maybe we'll start a Twitter account.
Let's start one right now when we get done with this.
Okay.
All right.
All right, guys. Have a good evening. Thanks for listening. We'll play you out with, I don't know, some good 80s stuff. We'll see how it goes.
Sounds good.
All right. Good night.
Oh, is it picking up?
I'm just curious if you were going to be doing that a lot.
So leave that in. Michelle is joining us via background noise.
Sort of, yes. Our third mic, as they call it.
Yes. Our third Michelle.
Our third Michelle?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's her name.
Third Michelle?
Third Mike, isn't her name's Mike? I said it's
ah, third machine. Nice, wow, nice. No, here. I was not even catching that at all.
No, you weren't.
I was thinking like my Michelle was number one, and then maybe there's another Michelle I didn't know about, and then there was this Michelle.
No,
third Michelle.
No, I was not even going remotely that literal.
Okay. where I went.
Can we leave that in?
No. Lots of times, like, if the show runs short, I take this shit and I put it at the end. So, like, if anybody listens to the music at the end, then they get to hear all the bullshit.
It's like the credits at the end of the Avengers
yeah.
movies.
Yeah.
All the fun stuff at the end.
All the cuts and the...
Yeah. You gotta be quiet, just go.
Like, all the time?
So we'll just be doing that for, like, the entire show. So anyway, we were talking about the show.
In class, she starts talking. I'll just go...
I'd like to see that.
I have a witness that you said that was okay to do.
Not only that, you encouraged it. Yeah. Okay. Great. I dropped an F bomb already.
That's
sorry.
The second one.
Is it really?
That's the second one.
We'll have to come out and edit it. Sorry.
I'm good with that.
Okay. I really dropped two F bombs?
Yeah, two.
Oh, I didn't catch one. I'll try and catch this.
Yeah, because I was amazed when you dropped the first one. I'm like, oh, okay.
I thought we were going to do that.
And I'm like, here we go.
No, I'm sorry. We'll fix it.